What is going down? Are we here? Can everybody hear me? Let's see. Are all the things working correctly? Looks like it. Chat looks like it's ready. Screen looks like it's ready. Are we ready? Oh, yeah. Okay, welcome to. This is number 3. I gotta remember how to do this. This is CCO's Lord of the Rings Tales of Middle-Earth live stream 3, where we're looking at our first cards. And if we have time, getting to the remainder of the Tolkien themes that I would like or expect to see in the Magic set. We've got our first cards. I'm so excited. I've been looking forward to this since Tuesday when we got the cards, and I wanted to do the live stream Tuesday, but I was so sick, and I'm just today feeling back to normal, and really just in the last few hours, now that I've got the antibiotics in me and I'm not fevered anymore and the rash is gone and my voice is feeling better, knock on wood, hopefully it holds out. I'm here. Welcome, CCO, LOTR, live stream 3. This is it. So we're just gonna wait a couple seconds longer just to make sure if anybody's lingering or getting in a couple minutes late, I'll let you know that all of these, or the first two at least, have been uploaded onto the podcast feed for anybody who's listened to or asked for the audio-only versions. Those are up. What else? Super chats are live if you want to support. That's a great way to do it because live streams don't make any money unless there's super chats going on. So if you want to make sure that your comment is read or your idea is heard by the greater audience, please feel free. Patreon.com/CCO podcast. For anybody who doesn't know that we have a Patreon, that's where to go. Tons of great benefits. I think everybody who's watched so far, well, maybe not a couple. There's been a couple names over the last couple weeks that I haven't recognized. So welcome. Thank you. Thank you for listening to the audio only show. When it's uploaded to the podcast feed, I try my best to get all the long pauses where I'm reading comments or whatever. I try to get those out. I've got let's see if you can see it on the live stream now. I got the PBR. I'm calling these the CCGs. I can't believe how good these are. These Canadian Club Gingers. They're fantastic. Who's all there? Israel, Robert, welcome and welcome. So, okay, I'm already reading a comment. Averna Supervren's deck was inspired by your guys'. It's my favorite deck right now. Mine too. It isn't you guys. That is one of my personal decks. That's Averna Supervren's or Supervren's Cascade. And there was a little bit of landfall in it, but now instead of landfall, I've got a lot more proliferate in it because I've added a Luka. The new Luka from Phyrexia All Will Be One that gives you the guy with Toxic, which gives you an additional win condition if you have a lot of proliferate, because the creature that it gives you on its minus ability has Toxic 1. So little piece of tech there for Israel. I like that guy. He adds mana. He gives you a Toxic creature. And if you have Doubling Season or Vorinclex, both of which I have, his ultimate is always within range, and more often than not, when that deck wins, it does win on the back of immediately ultimating a Planeswalker or ultimating Jace the Mind Sculptor 2 times in one game. Two time is very excellent. So we are here. I'm super excited, and I can't wait to get to it. So I want to get into it. I know that people are going to be late, and I know that people are going to jump in and say, hey, this or whatever. I want to get right into cards. So that's what we're going to do, because I'm so excited. The only person I've seen this week, or the only people I've seen this week, are my wife, my kid, the lady at the post office. Like, I didn't go and play Thursday Night Magic last night because I was still a little bit sick. Even though I was at the mall where the post office is, I didn't even go in because I was like, ugh, whatever. So this is my Magic fix for the week. I can already feel my voice going. I've got beer. We are going to get to it right now. We're going to turn this image off and we're going to go. I just want to make sure I got the right screen up here. We're going to go to, not working. There we go, Scryfall. Now, I'm going to be looking at the screen instead of looking at the camera because I have to read these cards. I don't have them memorized yet. So if eye contact is what you're after in a live stream today, might not be what you're after. So I've got them all up. How many do we got so far? 50 frickin' two. That includes like basics though. I don't know where anybody wants to start. Any comments, questions, requests as to where we start? How about this? I've got an idea. I've got to get everything into the right size here so it all fits. But I have a list of corrections. That's actually what I want to do before we get to cards. I want to make a couple corrections from the first two streams that we did. And they're kind of fun. And they're kind of just so we cover our butts because we're all in this together making predictions and stuff. Sorry, I said I wanted to get to cards, but we're going to get to that in a second. Corrections. Legolas could have dark hair. Remember we said, is the movie make us think that he's blonde? And I did a little bit of research. There is a line saying his head was dark. And that could have multiple meanings. Could mean he has dark hair. Could mean he had dark thoughts. Could mean that he was in a negative mind space with the context, or whatever, with the scene that was going on. But here's the thing. He was a Sindarin elf, or at least half Sindarin, and their hair was brown. The Vanyar were almost all blonde, and some of the Teleri elves were blonde. But he was Sindarin, so he very well could have had brown hair. And when you combine that with his head was dark, Legolas probably had dark hair. That was a correction. I think we said he was blonde last time, and he might not be. No flip cards thus far. So I'm watching the live stream on Tuesday. Blake Rasmussen says, no flip cards. Blake Rasmussen says, no planeswalkers. And remember we said that Gandalf or Sauron or whomever might be reskinned as planeswalkers? No planeswalkers in the set because there's no planeswalkers on Middle-earth, which I thought was an interesting design choice after we saw wizards or whoever, characters, be reskinned in the D&D sets as planeswalkers. But not in Lord of the Rings. We're not getting planeswalkers. Very interesting. And we were highly speculative on planeswalkers jammed together with wizards, and we're not getting that. So I wanted to just touch on that real quick. Sorry, I'm getting over a thing. So that's what I wanted to do. Now I want to get to cards. So I'm going to bring them up here. I'm going to bring up some cards. We're going to go. Sorry, I didn't even look here. Let's see. Yep, shifting. Luca. Great Henge reprint. Hopefully going to drop the price. Haha. Lol. I don't think that it's going to. That would be the Party Tree. The Party Tree / Great Henge. I wonder if I can make that any bigger for you guys. There, how's that? Better? The Party Tree. Green, green, 7. Great Henge. Little thingy underneath. Reskin. Reskin sub name, I guess. I don't know. What do we call that? It's reskinned. We all know that. This spell costs X less to cast, where X is the greatest power among creatures you control. That means it probably costs 2 or 3, maybe 4. Still a good deal. Taps to add 2 green. You gain 2 life. Whenever a non-token creature enters the battlefield under your control, put a +1 counter on it and, draw a card. Of course, because why not? I always say +1 and draw a card, really good. Plus gives you 2 mana. Plus gain 2 life. It's like, what doesn't it do? And it only costs 2, so really, it's free. So this card, very good. $100? Like, is that... Let's see here. $100 from the Throne of Eldraine one. These, I believe, are American prices. The Throne of Eldraine. Okay, 61, 95, 55. Sure, those are all the different printings. And is this one going to drop the price? I don't know. It's a mythic. It's a reskin. This is the commander set symbol that it has on it, I think. So this is only going to be available in commander decks or collector packs. Does that drop the price? I hope so, but I am doubtful. Now I'm seeing Planeswalkers as Lord of the Rings secret lair, Robert. I don't know. Blake said we're not getting any. So anyways, let's start with the lands. I saw another let's start with the lands type thing. Uh-oh, my browser screwed up. Uh-oh, I'm froze up, guys. What do I do? Do I turn on again? Oh no, technical difficulties on the stream. Let's see. I think I got it. There we go. The lands. I assume you mean the basics. So that's where I'm going to go. And then I'll do the other ones as well, because I very, very much want to touch on the other ones as well. Okay. Scott, welcome. Plains. Rohan, of course. Of course. And I almost wish, and this is just me being picky, I almost wish that they were more zoomed in with more detail. Probably the Wizards designers, art directors, and the artists had some freelance capabilities or liberties. And I would very much like to see like the Edoras down right below the R of Rohan. I would like to see a little town drawn there if we were zoomed in a little bit more. And the reason I say that is because top center, you get Isengard and the southern Misty Mountains, and you also get Fanghorn Forest. And it's like, okay, I get that Rohan is the plain place, but we've also got White Mountains, Misty Mountains, Fanghorn Forest. If we zoomed in more and got a little bit more detail, we could have just had Rohan. And that's just a little tiny gripe. My other tiny gripe, just to get it out of the way, is Blake Rasmussen had said that, good evening, how are you? Good evening. The other gripe is Blake Rasmussen said that these 10 lands that we're getting don't fit together to make a greater map. And I so wish they did. And you bet your ass that I am going to arrange them to do that and try to sketch the parts that are in between where we don't have. I'm going to do that. And I think that is going to be a fantastic little art project that maybe just I do because I'm a nerd. Maybe other altarists will do. Maybe they'll give us something where the lands don't fit together, but we can get like a playmat or something where we get everything and get the greater picture hanging on the wall, for example. I think that would be so cool. So cool. So what have we got here? We've got the Shire is the other plains card, which makes sense, I think. Which part of the Shire do we have? I'm trying to determine, okay, what are the dotted lines? Are the dotted lines roads? I think that they are. I see Bywater, Hobbiton, which is north of Bywater. I see Frogmorton, which is east of Bywater. I'm trying to see if they have the Three Shire Stone or whatever on it, and if they have the different farthings, the north, south, east, and west farthing, and it doesn't look like they do, which is fine. I don't think the average Lord of the Rings person necessarily gets that or cares about that. Or knows that they're distinctly different places. And like many small towns in Europe, all have their own subcultures and accents and everything. And nor do Frodo live on the same street. And then the South Farthing is where Pippin is from. Peregrin Duke. And for anybody who's ever said like, anybody who's ever said, The hobbits in Lord of the Rings in the films have different accents. That's on purpose. They have different accents because they're from different farthings. And that is culturally accurate and significant. Not only that, but they are of different social classes. So even Frodo and Sam, who live on the same street, have different accents because Sam is for lack of a better word, a peasant or the working class. And Frodo is aristocratic. And I hope that we see that in not only the cards that we've seen of theirs so far, but all of the cards and the Lord of the Rings lore culture that they build into the set, which Blake Rasmussen on the first look on Tuesday had said that they have poured their heart and soul into this set. So I'm hopeful that we will get that level of detail. And for those like my friend Aaron who have been cautiously optimistic, I'm starting to hope that you're more optimistic and less cautious. So map playmat would be amazing. I've seen map playmats. I've seen the classic Lord of the Rings map. I've seen it. Let's see if I can bring it up here. Look at, I've seen essentially this. That is a map that I just happen to have on my computer. Don't mind all my tabs open, but I've seen this playmat or something very close to it, like the one you see at the start of the Lord of the Rings film with the kind of textured detail that it has. I like this one because it has Beleriand and this is all of the, everything in blue is now under the sea after the First Age ended. But when I listen to the Silmarillion or Unfinished Tales or any of the other First Age stories, I bring up this map so I know where people are. And there's certainly, you think Middle Earth is big. There's lots of other stuff going on. Anyways, that's the second planes. Let's go to island. What do we got here? There are islands. And I wish that they did a little bit better job of showing us. This is in South Gondor. This is where on the, I wonder if I can show my mouse a little bit. I turned mouse off. So let me just see if I can, man alive, properties, capture cursor. Okay, here we go. Uh-oh, technical difficulties again. We're getting beat up. Uh-oh, guys, I can't get it back. I think I just ruined the whole stream. I wanted to be able to show my mouse so I could show you where I was looking. But it doesn't look like that's going to be an option here. Let's see. Hmm? Well, shit. What did I do? Any suggestions? Oh, okay, well, let's see if I... well, I guess I screwed it all up, yo. If anybody's got any suggestions on how to get my my thingy back up, that would be fantastic. In the meantime, I've got maybe a little bit of a different way I can go here. Let's just get to the right spot. Oh, there we go. Okay, here we go. We're good. I've got my cursor now too, right? Nope, I don't. Well, I don't want to screw anything up again. We've got Minas Tirith over there on the right-hand side of this island, which is fantastic, and Osgiliath. And I really like how on the very right-hand side of this, where Osgiliath is, all to the north and east of that along the Mountains of Shadow, south of the Dead Marshes, they show a forest, which is not a thing that's shown on a lot of maps. There's not forested area there, and there really is. When you read the books, Frodo and Sam are walking south through Ithilien when they leave the Black Gates after the Dead Marshes, and they're walking through forested area. And I think that this map does a good job of showing that. I think that it does a good job of showing the forested areas on the north side of the White Mountains, which is fantastic. I'm gonna try it again. Should I try it again? I wanna get my the screen. Oh man, see, I wanna get my mouse capture, but I can't. Oh, sorry everybody. I didn't test drink one more beer. Yeah, Clayton. I wish I could. I broke it again though. I lost it. You guys, I totally lost it. All right, well, let's move to the next island. We have got, this is way up north now. We've got Linden, this is actually where a bunch of the Rings of Power takes place, where Gil-galad lives and where Elrond in the first episode meets Galadriel and all those like nice yellow leaves and stuff are falling. This is where that happens, to the west or to the left of that mountain range there. Those are the Blue Mountains. And the Blue Mountains are cool because they're one of the things that we hear a bunch about in the First Age that last all the way to the Third Age, or the end of the Third Age, which is when the Lord of the Rings takes place. So super cool to see that. We don't get a whole ton of Lord of the Rings story from here, but this is where the Grey Havens are. You can see between Forlinden and Harlinden where that big kind of bay or gap or river opens. The Grey Havens is where people sail out into the Undying Lands. That's where they sail from. So I like to see that. And okay, so here we go. Of course, I could have predicted this. There is the Dead Marshes, of course, the Emmon Muil, Mordor, the Black Gates, all on a swamp, of course. I think it's perfect. I think that that it works and it fits. And I already talked about the forested areas of Ithilien and just kind of north of the White Mountains that you see on the bottom there. It shows all of the things that we would expect and want that some maps don't show. So I think that that's cool. The next swamp, of course, Mount Doom, Barad-dûr, Gorgoroth, Mordor, the Sea of Nurnin. This is where Aragorn, this is the land, let's call it South Mordor, that Aragorn gives to all of Sauron's non-orc slaves that do his farming and feed his armies, because South Mordor, south of the Cirith Ungol kind of pass, where there's that outcrop of mountains that blocks North Mordor, like the valley of Gorgoroth versus Nurn. Nurn is supposed to be quite hospitable, because all of the volcanic ash makes the soil very fertile. Along with the inland sea of Nurnin, it makes for really rich land. And it's not dark there all the time, because the clouds and all the volcanic activity doesn't cover the sky there. So, and it's south enough that it's hot. So it's got heat, it's got rich soil from volcanic fallout, and it's got an inland sea to feed all of the crops, and supposedly that's how Sauron feeds his army. So I think that that's really cool. If you didn't know that, if you thought, well, how does... A lot of people are skeptical or think that there's a lot of holes or any holes in some of Tolkien's work, and they say things like, well, how did he feed his army, or how did they get that many people, or that big of a force, or whatever? It's all been thought out. It's all been thought out. And I think that that is really cool. Really cool that it goes that in depth. And now we have a magic card to show it. We have a magic card to show it. And that is so cool. So cool. So the next one you could have easily predicted is... The Misty Mountains are mountains, and I like that we do get some forest in here. I was critical that we got too much forest in the plains. I do like how we both get Lorien and Fanghorned in these. I think that that's cool. We get the Red Horned Gate, Moria, Carathras. I only ever say that in my head. It doesn't sound the same when I say it out loud. But we see it all here. Do we get Rivendell? We don't, do we? No, we don't. That's probably a little bit further north, and we don't get it. I wonder if we get it on the next one. We don't get it on the next one, do we? We get Rohan. We get the full White Mountains, Gondor. We get Helm's Deep, Isengard. We sort of get the gap of Rohan way over on the left side, south of Isengard, but north of Helm's Deep, but it's not labeled. And it would be cool if it was. book readers will be very familiar with the Gap of Rohan and its strategic importance. Movie watchers will be more familiar with the Emon Muil, where Frodo and Sam walk through after they cross the lake, where after Boromir dies in the first film. The start of Two Towers is all Frodo and Sam and the Taming of Sméagol. That's the chapter name. Chapter 1 in book 4, I think, is the Taming of Sméagol, where Frodo and Sam are walking through the endless labyrinth of razor-sharp rocks, as Gimli puts it in the movie, right? And we get all that in this mountain. We get the bottom of the Misty Mountains that ends essentially with Isengard. We get the Gap of Rohan, Helm's Deep, which is situated in the White Mountains. Edoras, Gondor, South Gondor, all the way down to Dol Amroth, which is, Dol means hill. So hill, mountain, it all makes sense that that would be depicted there as well. So super cool mountain. I like that one. Forest. Oh, well, of course we get the Old Forest. We get the hedge. The hedge was planted to keep the Old Forest out by the Bucklanders. And we get the Brandywine, Brandy Hall, Buckleberry Ferry, of course. I'm turning my head sideways to read everything. River Withywindle, that's the river that the hobbits go down the hills of the forest to. And that's where they find Old Man Willow. He puts him to sleep. Not in the movies for anybody who is only familiar with that. But this is a significant, significant part of the book that a lot of people aren't familiar with. And a lot of people think, well, it's not important to the actual greater story, and it could be cut out. And while I don't disagree, Tolkien people are going to be like, oh, what do you mean it could get cut out? I don't disagree with it could get cut out. You'd miss Tom Bombadil and all of the stuff that goes along with that. I think the two most important things that you would miss if you cut out the Old Forest out of the book and you just skip that chapter is you wouldn't know where Sam and Merry and Pippin get their swords, their barrow blades that were forged by men of Arnor, aka Numenor, to fight against the Witch King in the Angmar War. And it's one of those blades that ends up piercing the back of the Witch King's knee. And the movie doesn't tell you that because they cut that out. Why was Merry able to help kill the Witch King? Because his sword was specifically magically enhanced to kill the Witch King. And that's cut out of the movie. And that's extremely important. And Sam gets one and takes it all the way into Mordor. And that's one of the reasons I think that he's feared. Not only because he has an elvish blade and they think he's an elf and they think he's got this magical weapon and he's huge because he has the ring, because he's a ring bearer when he thinks Frodo's dead. But he leaves the barrow blade, this blade designed to kill bad guys essentially, with Frodo when he thinks Frodo's dead. And he ends up getting that blade back at the end. I'm just rereading Return of the King right now. And oh man, the end of the Return of the King before the Scouring of the Shire is just some of my favorite parts of Tolkien. But complete aside, the Old Forest, the other thing that you don't get if you cut that out for people who are still on that is you don't get a lot of Hobbit culture. You don't get a lot of Hobbit joking, and you don't get a lot of how Frodo interacts both with other Hobbit nobility or aristocracy compared to how he acts with Hobbit peasants or common folk. And you start to develop this idea in your mind that Frodo kind of goes both ways in that he respects and and doesn't revere, but respects and treats people with respect, even if they're under his social class. He never jokes with Sam the way that Merry and Pippin joke with each other or with him, or that he jokes with them. But Merry and Pippin will joke with Sam that way because he's socially under them. But Frodo doesn't do that. And you start to kind of develop this idea of what kind of person that Frodo is in the chapter where they go through the Old Forest. And that makes it a hugely important part of the book. So anyways, where do we want to go? Where do we want to go? I didn't get any comments as to where we should go next, but maybe if we don't focus on specific cards right now, maybe we can focus on the ring treatment. What is it called? The showcase treatment, where it's got that flat kind of foreground and it looks like you're looking through the ring. That is cool. Looks a little bit, in my opinion, a little bit low detail, but I love the style that the art inside that ring is done in. Samwise the Stout-hearted is such a fantastic piece. And if we were doing pie bets and taking bets on what the exact name of cards would have been, I would have said Samwise the Stout-hearted. Can I make that guess? I don't know. I don't know if I can make that guess, but Elrond Loremaster would be a good one. Galadriel Lady of Light would be a good one. Anyways, the lands. Let's keep going on the lands. We've got Mount Doom. Of course we do. And we think in one of our streams, we were saying that Mount Doom, all of Mordor was going to be black. And the basics kind of indicated that, except for Mount Doom. And we were bang on. So everybody who was bang on Mount Doom is going to be red, black. Fantastic. Tap, legendary land, tap, pay one life, add red or black. That's fine. That's a pain land. We all play that every day of the week. Also, red, black, one tap, Mount Doom deals one damage to each opponent. This is already better than, in my estimation, Shivan Gorge. Shivan Gorge does the same thing for red two tap, but only gives you colorless. So this is a cut above because it gives you colored, even at the cost of one life. I don't care because I'm going to deal three damage probably more often, like one and one and one to each opponent, more often than I'm going to tap this for losing one life in my lands deck. And it's got red, black, five, tap, sacrifice Mount Doom, and a legendary artifact, of course. Choose up to two creatures, then destroy the rest. Activate only as a sorcery. This is fantastic. And I'm thinking of a way to... I'm trying to find a way to fit this with a legendary artifact into my lands deck. I think it's better than Shivan Gorge, which I already play. But I don't play any legendary artifacts. So I'm going to have to figure that out. I'm going to have to figure that out. And I'm already thinking of Minamo, the one where you pay blue, tap, return a legendary permanent to its owner's hand. With Minamo, it gives me a reason to both play Minamo and the One Ring and Urborg. Thematically and mechanically. But dang it, doesn't. Where were we? Mount Doom. I don't know. It's good. Board wipe on a land. Oh man. Yeah. That is cool. I just don't know how I'm going to do it yet. The next one is the Shire and legendary land. ETB's tapped unless you control a legendary creature. Which is fine. You probably don't have a legendary creature in your deck with converted or like mana cost green. So this is fine to come into play tapped. It adds a green and you can go green one, tap an untapped creature you control, create a food token. Now this is fantastic, I think. I'm thinking about my lands deck again. How many creatures of mine could I tap? I don't very often cast Child of Alara. I only just cast it when I want it to die because it nukes the board, but I keep all my lands. But I very much care about gaining life. So I could create some food tokens and gain some life, cast ad nauseum with all my lands in my deck. I can draw more cards. Every three life I gain is like drawing an extra six cards. It's like crazy with ad nauseum in my lands deck. But anyways, let's take a look here. Is this the only art that we have? Ah, there's the other one. This is the one that I like better. The one that shows like the little hobbit hole and a little hobbit hole in the background and a fence and some flowers. This feels a lot more like the Shire I have in my mind. The Shire that is in my mind because of the Peter Jackson movies. This is the one that I like. I don't know what this one is from. I don't like it as much. But I think it's fantastic. We talked last or 2 weeks ago about hobbits and food, and we are getting food tokens. And I'm willing to bet there's going to be a potato one. I'm willing to bet there's going to be rabbit stew. I'm willing to bet. Is there going to be beer? I'm not going to bet on beer, but I'm going to bet on rabbit stew, and I'm going to bet on potatoes. And maybe on Bilbo's Pantry. That'd be a good one. That'd be a good one to bet on if we get three. Darcy, what is up? Where are we going next? Where are we? Is there any more lands? I don't think so. Let's talk about these panoramas, because we thought that we were only getting one in the Battle of Pelennor Fields, the 18 card one. But now we're surprised with the Frodo, Sauron's Bane, Samwise the Stout-Hearted, Gollum, Patient Plotter, and the One Ring. And I think that these are fantastic. I thought about getting just the showcase arts framed, the art cards framed, the panorama Pelennor Fields one framed. But I think I just got to get all of them now. I don't know how many there's going to be, but I'm going to get them all. So, this one's great. Are the cards good? Frodo, Sauron's Bane, it's fine. I get it. Halfling, we were right about halflings. For anybody who's remembering that, we said they're not going to be hobbits, they're going to be halflings. He moves from citizen to scout, 2/3 with lifelink. And then for three more, I think a total cost of six, right? One and two and three is six. He becomes a halfling rogue, still 2/3, with whenever this creature deals combat damage to a player, that player loses the game if the ring has tempted you four or more times this game. Ooh, we don't know what that means yet, though. So that's, we don't know how good this card is or how kind of crappy it is, because we don't know what the ring tempting you means yet. So that'll be for a future stream. Now we got Samwise the Stout-Hearted. And man, I think Sam might be one of my favorite characters. Rebecca and I were laying in bed the other day, and she says, I'm talking to her about Lord of the Rings, because of course I am. She says, who's your favorite character in Lord of the Rings? And I say, well, the books or the movies? And she goes, the books. I say maybe Sam. Sam occupies like almost all of my favorite parts in the book. But maybe Faramir? But maybe Aragorn? I don't know. I thought, well, maybe Boromir, because like he's just trying to do the right thing. No, it's got to be Faramir, because he does the right. And she's like, see, I knew it. And she just started bugging me, because she was like, I started this whole inner dialogue with myself, and it was totally funny. I guess let me know in the comments, who is your favorite character from the books and the movies? And who do you think is going to be your favorite character from the Magic set? I'll read Samwise the Stouthearted, then I'll go back to the comments real quick. Okay, 2-1, Halfling Peasant, which is cool because he is not... He's not a... What was Frodo? He's a citizen. Well, I guess Sam would be a citizen too, but they needed to give him a different name. Anyways, Halfling Citizen, Flash, 2-1 for 2. So he's already good. When he enters the battlefield, choose up to one target permanent card in your graveyard that was put there from the battlefield this turn. Return it to your hand. Then the ring tempts you. Let's ignore the ring tempts you part. And let's talk about why he has Flash and why he is a graveyard getter backer. Why does he have Flash? Flavorfully, not mechanically. Why not why did they put a 2-1 for 2 with Flash as a graveyard getter backer? No, I'm not interested in the mechanics. Is there any reason that a graveyard getter backer or Sam would have Flash? Why does Sam have Flash? Is it because he surprises Ungoliant? Or Shelob, I mean? I did that last week too. Shelob? Because he kills her? Because he gets into Kirith Ungol? Because he gets there? Why does he have Flash? I haven't pieced that one together yet. And when he enters the battlefield, choose up to one target permanent card in your graveyard that was put there from the battlefield this turn and return it to your hand. That's got to be a getting Frodo back from Kirith Ungol reference. It's got to be a saving Frodo from failing at his quest reference like 100 times. He was going to fail at the Cracks of Doom. He was going to fail when Gollum attacked him. He was going to fail on the steps. He was going to fail in Kirith Ungol. He was going to fail outside of Minas Morgul. He was going to fail 100 times in a row. But Sam helped him every single time. I think that's why he has that ability. And I think that that's freaking cool. Sam is a favorite of mine. Yes, Rob. Yeah. All of my I think all of my favorite parts are with Sam. I think. I'm trying to think of my favorite part in like the first two books, like the first two Fellowship books. My favorite part in book one of Two Towers is when Aragorn and Éomer meet in the field, like with all the horses surrounding them. And in book four is on the stairs of Kirith Ungol when Sam and Frodo are talking about getting put into stories. So that's a Sam moment. Book six is Sam again. Sam after the ring is destroyed and he's talking of, oh, great glory and splendor. And then he wept. Yeah, that was my favorite part. Sam's ring art is better. Is this the ring art? I'm not sure. Oh, the ring art. Oh, yeah, the ring showcase art, this one. Yeah, this is a fantastic piece. Oh, man. Love it. I love the contrast. I love the background, like, and shining through his hair and the ring shining, dangling on, like, around Frodo's neck. Sam carrying him. Yeah, that is a good piece. I wish, and I found this out on Facebook, that all of the Lord of the Rings set arts are all digital. They're all digital due to licensing reasons. There's no originals, and no artist can sell one-of-one or serialized prints, and there'll be no artist proofs on Magic cards for this set. And this is the kind of art here, Samwise the Stouthearted showcase art, that I really think would make for a fantastic piece. It's fairly recognizable if you've read the book or seen the movie. It's evocative. It's high contrast. It's conversational. It it's very recognizable. You know pretty much exactly what's going on as soon as you see it. I think that this is just such a fantastic piece. And I don't think I'll ever be able to get it. I suppose you can get them, but anyways, let's move on to the elephant in the room here. This will maybe be the last thing. I decided that I kind of want to keep these to 1 hour just to keep myself sane. Where do we want to go? Do we want this one ring? Okay, are we going to get the one ring here? Is it going to give us the different printings? Yeah, it is. Okay. Oh, look at it's already pre-selling. Oh man, it's already selling at $100, $80.53. What is it going to be worth? Oh man, we're not going to end on the one ring. We just can't because there's multiple one rings. But okay, the one ring. We said it had to be powerful. We weren't sure if it was going to be an equipment or what. But okay, legendary artifact. This is what you sacrificed to Mount Doom, by the way. 4, indestructible, because of course it is. When the one ring enters the battlefield, if you cast it, gain protection from everything until end of turn. So you're invulnerable, which is, of course you are. At the beginning of your upkeep, lose 1 life for each burden counter on the one ring. Okay. You can tap, put a burden counter on the one ring, draw a card for each burden counter on the one ring. Wowzers. That's fantastic. Yeah, I was just saying in my head as I was reading it, I wish when you tapped it, you lost the life, but you could avoid tapping it and avoid losing the life. And that wouldn't be very thematic or flavorful. You always lose the life because it's always a burden. And somebody thought of that. Somebody thought that I need to always lose life when I have this powerful thing that makes me invulnerable and gives me everything that I want. Doesn't give you everything you want because you're going to die if you have it for too long. And that's so, so cool. So fantastic. I love it. I'm going to drink to the one ring. Very cool. I love the unadorned nature of it. It just looks like a plain ring. It just looks like the simplest of trinkets. I'm trying to think of what the Mouth of Sauron calls it when he goes to Erebor, asking if anybody knows where Baggins is. Oh, man. The simplest of trinkets, or it's just a trifle of a ring, like it's this, like a trifle that Sauron barely cares about. That's what this is. And I don't know what it's situated in front of. It's, if that's just supposed to be like a generic background, if that is lava and this is the ring falling, is this what the unseen world looks like? I'm not sure. I'm just reading a couple comments. Favorite character, Sam in the books, but Saruman in the movies. Saruman in the movie has completely changed my view on Saruman when I read him. That's what I hear. Or that's what I heard for years and years and years and years until I listened to the Children of Húrin audiobook that was narrated or read by Christopher Lee. That's for Israel. That's Israel's comment. Ghee Pizza. He's got Flash because he's there to show up and rescue Frodo at any time. Ooh, he's always there, yeah. Yep, yeah. And Adam, real quick, what are your thoughts on doing alters for this set? Well, most likely, I do alters for every set. So this set is probably no different. Anyways, the One Ring, fantastic. Love it. I want to take a quick look at, what else do we got here? Full art. The bundle. I don't know why this one is $100 because like it comes in every bundle. Unless this is a foil, but it's not indicated as foil. This one comes in every bundle, doesn't it? Shouldn't this one be like the cheapest one? Unless I'm misinterpreting. And then, of course, no price for the ye old Black Speech, one of one. Wowzers. This card is going to be... This is going to be fantastic to see where and when and done what with. This is going to be... I've been theorizing in my head. Of course, I'm looking at the Black Speech serialized foil, one of one, collector booster only, one ring. And just this week, I think it was on eBay, a PSA Gem Mint 10 out of 10 Black Lotus. Alpha or beta, I don't remember. The slab, the plastic case that it's graded in, signed by Christopher Rush, sold for $530,000. And I'm thinking, could the one of one, one ring, go for that much? And I've seen all over the place on Facebook, oh yeah, it'll be $40,000 to $50,000, $25,000, $8,000, $1 million. I don't think that's realistic, but it might be. And then I saw like a notable collector on Facebook, and it was all over Twitter and stuff. And I saw an article about it. Guy offers $100,000 straight up. I want to show it off first. But you can take credit for opening it after I show it off. $100,000 wired right to you. I'll come and get it. And is $100,000 the price? I'm not sure. I wonder if anybody's going to get it and burn it. Is that a slap in the face to WotC, the community, the player base, Lord of the Rings fans? Is it the ultimate ironic meme? Is it the ultimate, the one ring gets destroyed in lava? Like, is somebody just going to put it in a crucible of molten lava? Because that would be fantastic. I wonder what I would do if I got it. I guess let me know in the comments. What would you do if you got it? It's so cool. I don't think getting inflamed or angry about it is appropriate or healthy. I think it's just like, it's one of one. Nobody's going to get it. Your odds of getting it are less than 0.00003%. If WotC projects that about 3 million collector packs will be opened, your odds of getting this card are so astronomically small, nobody's going to get it. But the one person who does, what are they going to do? And if it was me, what would I do? Wow, what a cool thing to think about. Lots of fun. I don't know what I would do. I haven't parsed that out yet. And I see Rob, I don't know if I hope that it gets cracked by a random. I hope that it doesn't get cracked and just played unsleeved on a kitchen table. I hope that isn't the case. I hope that it isn't the case that some collector or investor, or even somebody like me who collects booster packs, buys it and it sits in a booster pack sealed somewhere without even knowing. I don't think that'll be the case. I think that these collector boosters might be opened at a little bit of a higher clip because there is anywhere between a $100,000 and $1 million card at stake. I think these will get opened at a little bit of a higher clip. But I hope it is somebody that knows what it is. I guess I'll say that much. I think that anybody that's listening and is interested in Magic and Lord of the Rings collectibles is gonna know, and I hope it's one of those persons. I think that's cool. I'm just imagining if it was me. Of course. Oh man, fantastic. So we didn't go over every single card, but we could maybe go over one last one ring type thing. I like the Soul Rings. I know at the start of the year, Brando and I had said that, oh, look at that Soul Ring. Brando and I had said that we had hoped that there would be multiple different all over the map Soul Ring arts. And in 2023, we're getting that. We're getting, like, this is the One Ring for men. I'm trying to find all of them. There's the Elven one, written in Quenya. And here's the One Ring for Mortal Men Doomed to Die. Or Nine Rings for Mortal Men Doomed to Die. This is my favorite one. I think this is the most evocative art. And I can't decide if this guy is bowing and giving his ring, holding his ring up. Is he sad that he has it but can't give it up? Is he being subservient to Sauron? I don't know what's happening in this art, but I love it. And that is why I love it, because it evokes so many emotions. When I say something's evocative, this is what I'm talking about. Look at his fingers. They're starting to turn like see-through, like skeleton fingers. He's starting to fade, but he's still holding on to his ring. It's not a ring sitting across the way on a table that he's looking at. No, he's holding it, and he's got downcast eyes. Does he not want it, but can't give it up? Is he giving it back to Sauron? What's happening? I love it. Absolutely love that piece. Where's the one? Where's the last one I'm looking for? Frick. Is it this one? Man, how many times am I going to click on the same damn thing? Where's the dwarven one? Am I just a loser? Right frickin' here, Ryan, you dummy. And this is the dwarven one. Seven rings for the dwarven kings in their halls of stone or whatever it was, right? And I like how there's treasure around, because the ring didn't really affect them, and you can tell it's not very evocative. It's just treasure, and that's what they got with these rings. I think that's fantastic. What if the one ring ends up in a landfill in Texas? It'll stay there forever. Showboated by a celebrity. Yeah. I hope whoever gets it keeps it. And I hope it's frickin' me. Oh, man. Oh. Can you imagine? Can imagine. I wonder if it's going to be counterfeited. I'm just reading a comment. Proxy artists will go off making versions of it. Like exact replicas of it. I wonder, hey? The Elven Ring is your personal favorite. Nope. Everybody can have a favorite, but the best one is most certainly the men one. We can talk about the Elven Ring one real quick, though. Nenya, the Ring of Adamant, made out of Mithril and Adamant, and captures the light of the trees of Valinor, according to this art, which is fine. Looks, this art, and I don't know if this is purposeful or not, but looks very much like the tree and the lightning and the story that got told on the Rings of Power, how Mithril was made, where lightning struck the tree and good and evil was forged into one metal down into the Misty Mountains. This looks like that tree when it was struck by lightning. I don't know if that's intentional or not, because this art was probably done before that episode was released in September or October, whenever that came out. But this gives me that kind of vibe. And I'm interested to know, I just said Nenya the Ring of Adamant, but I don't know if it's that ring that's being depicted here. And I'm wondering whose hand this is. Nenya was Galadriel's ring. And Narya was Gandalf's ring, and Vilya, the Ring of Air, was Elrond's ring, which arguably is the most powerful ring, but I'm not sure. I just say it's the most powerful ring because it's associated with probably the most powerful of the Valar, Manwë, the Valar of the air and the skies and wind. I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not, though. But they're all nice, and I'm going to be looking to get serialized versions of all three, all four, but probably won't. So we're a little bit over time. I was going to touch on like locations. I was going to touch on multiple versions of characters. Blake Rasmussen, I'll cover some of this stuff quickly. Blake Rasmussen had said that almost every single named character in the Lord of the Rings, the novels, is going to get a card. That could potentially mean north of 100 legendary creatures, which I think is fantastic. Not only because it's Lord of the Rings, but if you've listened to any of Commander Cookout or Commander Ad Populum content, I always say more is better. We don't need to know everything about everything about everything all at once. More is better because something is or something will be for everyone. And it gives you that opportunity to explore and organically learn about the game again, where the game releasing 100 legends every 2 weeks will leave you behind. It just will. And as you explore the world, the game, the world, you will just organically find stuff and it's going to make you feel like a new player again. So give me 100 legends. Give me 126 legends or however many named characters are in Lord of the Rings. Who we might not get. We might not get like Celebrion. That's Elrond's wife. We might not get like Erkenbrand. He's just, oh no, we'll get Erkenbrand. We might not get like the door, Hama, the door warden in Edoras. We might not get like Burgil. That's the little kid that Pippin meets in Minas Tirith. We might not get those people, right? Excuse me. Oh, mother of pearl. We might not get those people. But everybody else, I'm in. We might not get Thorondor's brother and the other swift eagle that go to Mordor and pick up Frodo and Sam. We might not get them. But we're going to get everybody else. There's going to be 4 commander decks. Each deck's going to tell a story. That's fantastic. We got Aragorn and Arwen wed as one of the dual decks or commander leaders or something. And that's fantastic. We are going to get... scenes. I wrote down scenes because Blake Rasmussen had made a mention of all of the different places we're going to go. Some of those are going to be depicted on lands, but some of them are going to be depicted on like, where's the Gandalf one? The Gandalf and the Balrog one. Where is it? You cannot pass. That's kind of like a scene. And I had predicted that this might be a battle, but it's a scene. And this might be what he was talking about. And yes, it is. You cannot pass. That is from the book. And fantastic. This is a good card too. Instant for white. Destroy target creature that blocked or was blocked by a legendary creature this turn. Huh, cool. Doesn't even have to be my guy. Could just be anybody. Anybody's legend. Cool. So lots of good stuff. I hope to get into all of it. I hope to, because by next week, next Friday, we're probably not going to get a whole bunch of new stuff. I hope to get back into the themes. We've got friendship, home, compassion, pity, and perseverance, and how perseverance is weighted against corruption that power can cause. So we've got those to talk about, and I'm so excited still. Like I say every time, I can talk about this stuff all day, every night, all night, every day. But I've got to prepare for last couple minutes of preparation for Commander Cookout tomorrow. My wife's upstairs. She wants to have a shower. The shower is right above me, so it's noisy, so I tell her not to. I'm going to finish my drink, and I want to give everybody real quick a last kind of thank you and hurrah. If anybody has any questions about anything that we talked about tonight, I would love to spend a couple minutes answering them and just going through kind of the question and answer period. I'm going to take a big drink, read some comments, and then we'll get to it. Named legendary weapons, Rob. I bet you we are. I bet you we're going to get Grond. I was going to say the hammer of the underworld, but Gronn, the battering ram, made in likeness of the hammer of the underworld. We're going to get Narsil or Anduril. Anduril, that's Aragorn's sword. We're going to get, maybe we'll get Gandalf's staff. Maybe we'll get Sting. Oh, fuck, we're going to get Sting. Of course we are. Maybe we'll get Sting. We'll get legendary horses. Do I hope that they're vehicles? Do I hope that like Snowmane and Shadowfax and Bill the Pony and Stibba, do I hope that they're vehicles? Or do I hope that they're legendary creatures? I don't know. What other legendary? We're going to get the Star of Arendil. That's the vial of light that Galadriel gives Frodo. We're going to get Barrow Blade, I bet you. That's the knife or the sword that Merry stabs the Witch King with. What else are we going to get? We're going to get that little box of sand with the Malorn seed that Sam gets. We're going to get Elven Rope. We're going to get that. These are all predictions. I hope a bunch of them come true. What else are we going to get? Sam's cooking gear. We're going to get that. Gandalf's ring art showing the fall of the bridge is chef's kiss. Yes. And does everybody remember last time I was I was trying to remember the name of the artist whose Lord of the Rings or Tolkien art I loved so much? It's Anato Finstark, and that's the guy who did this piece. Google Anato Finstark. Fantastic. Some of my favorite Tolkien art. It's, again, evocative, high contrast. Your eye is always moving despite half the art being black. It's just fantastic. Yeah, Rob, good catch. Battles, Scott. Yeah, I thought the battle on the Bridge of Khazad Dûm was going to be a battle. Because it's a battle. The Battle of Pelennor Fields, right? The Battle of Helm's Deep. I think that we're going to get that. But I don't know yet what battles are. Like, nobody does, right? So, I don't know. Rob, thank you for being here. Phyrexian Archives. I don't know who that is in real life, but we talked about Treebeard and Dryad Arbor and Animating Lands. We talked about that last or 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. We did touch on that. Scott, thank you. Rob, oh man, Rob HD77, cool live stream. Thank you for being here. Everybody, thank you for being here. Always a ton of fun. I want to do as many of these as I can and make them as fun for everybody as I can. If you had a drink, cheers. If you didn't, that's totally fine. I'm happy to just do them and chill with everybody because we're all friends and we all love magic and Lord of the Rings. And next week we'll be back. We'll be touching on themes. If we've got any new cards, we'll get into those. And as far as anything else, I'm not sure. If you're a Patreon supporter, hit me up in the Discord. We can discuss there. If you are on Twitter at CCO Podcast is me, we can discuss there. Or if you want to leave a comment on the video on demand on YouTube after this, I can pick those up and incorporate those into future live streams. So with all that, everybody, I am going to go get into the shower and then I got to go do some CCO stuff and finish this drink.